Thank you to all that's had a part in this service this morning so far. We are actually going to be focusing in Luke this morning. I wanted that background read, though, in Exodus. I think you'll see as we get along here why. But so we're going to go, if you look to turn to Luke chapter 22, there. I call this the last Passover because what Jesus is doing here is an amazing thing. It's an amazing time in history, really, what's taking place here in Luke 22. And I hope we can grasp that this morning, that Jesus is all we need. He's our only hope. And as we approach Easter, I just thought about, this is a good reminder for us again. We know some of these things, but it's just good to be reminded where this, to me, this is the root of where Easter really started here in Exodus 13. But in 22, Luke 22, if you turn there, I want to read here verse 7 and 8. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." Father, as we pause now to look in your word, I just pray, help us to grasp this precious, precious truth. And may Easter be more real to us this year than other years, as we realize what you did for us out of your great love for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. What is the day of unleavened bread that Jesus is talking about here in Luke 22, 7? Or the Passover, as verse 1 talks about the unleavened bread, feast of unleavened bread drawing near, which is called Passover. And that's why I had Exodus 12 read, because I believe that's where it started, was right there. That God already had Easter in mind when he gave this order to Moses and Aaron that day. And just to go over quickly some things, this is a good reminder because this is the result of what we call the Lord's Supper today. It's all involved in what Jesus is doing here in 22. As you know, the Egyptians, at least Pharaoh, had refused to let Israel go. You know that story. But God really said in chapter 12 of Exodus that it won't be long now and he's going to be letting you go. In fact, he tells them that they should be ready to go quickly, be dressed, fully dressed when you eat that last supper they're going to have. God also told Moses that every firstborn in the land, both man and beast, would die that night. Several times in the book of Exodus chapter 12, it says the Lord will smite, or the Lord smote the firstborn. But what's unique to me about that is that in verse 23 makes it very clear that there was going to be what he called a destroyer that was going to go through the land of Egypt. And that destroyer would not make any distinction between Jew or Egyptian. The only thing that was going to decide whether that firstborn died or not was whether the children of Israel were obedient to him. And whether they did what he told them to do. What was the reason that the hand of the destroyer would not kill the firstborn in the Jews, or for that matter, any home in that land? It would be the door that had the blood of a lamb on the sides of it and above it. The blood of a lamb that was without blemish. And he made it clear, very, very clear in chapter 12, that each person was responsible for their home. Each person was responsible for putting that blood above the door, which, as I think very much is the lesson that we have from this, is that God is looking for those that would be obedient to him and do what he instructed them to do. And my friends, he's still doing that today. He's looking for those that will follow his instructions and be obedient to what he asked them to do. Then the Lord gave another order in that chapter, which is very significant. and that he wanted that day to be a memorial. The day that they did that sacrificial service in preparing to leave, as it were, he wanted them not to forget that. Every year they were to go through the same service as the ceremony that they did that first night. We read that in verses 24 and 25 of Exodus 12. And he makes it clear in verse 24 that that was supposed to continue throughout the generations forever, not just in Old Testament times. And why was that important? Because he says in verse 26 and verse 29 of Exodus 12 that you may pass it on to your children. We see there again the responsibility that God gives parents to make sure their children understand why they're doing what they're doing, that they're following the instructions in obedience of God. And sad to say, the Jews many ways failed in it, I think, because you see that the generations did not follow like they should, but certainly this one they did. God also said that in Exodus 12, in verses 14 and 15 of Exodus, that they were to make a feast that would last 7 days. And this feast was supposed to be, in that feast was supposed to be unleavened bread. God makes it clear, in fact, in verse 15, that there was supposed to be no leaven even found in the house of those Jewish people that day. Not even found in the house, much less in the bread that they would make that day. Why is that important? You may remember that in the Bible, leaven is always a symbol of corruption or sin. And so God wanted that out. The whole reason I believe that for the Passover memorial was so that the people would never forget what God did for them, the mercies of the Lord that he showed them that day. That it was he who spared them from the death angel that went through and killed the firstborn of that land. It was him who delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And they were to pass it on to their children. He makes it clear. And so as we come here now to Luke chapter 22, we have here what I call a changing, a big change taking place, a change that will last forever. You see, Jesus is now going to be put in the place of that little lamb that night. In fact, Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 5:7, he calls Jesus as the Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us. That was in God's thinking all along. Jesus refers to the Passover in verse 15 here of this 22. That would be part of the feast of the Passover. And notice he says in verse 15 that he would not be doing that again until he calls it, verse 16, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What kingdom of God is he talking about here? There again, theologians have different opinions about this kingdom. Some believe it's referring to the millennial kingdom we call the thousand-year reign of Christ that takes place after the tribulation period. Because he talks about in verse 30 about that one day they will eat with him in his kingdom at his table, and that they will sit in thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That would indicate that millennial reign we talked about. But on the other hand, Revelation chapter 19 talks very clearly about another supper that's going to take place. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you read that passage in Revelation 19:9, it says, to those who are called, you have to be called to be a part of that supper. That is definitely a spiritual kingdom that we will take, I believe we, his church, will take place in heaven, and we will be with him. So this meal he's talking about here in verse 16, that's going to take place in the kingdom of God, whether you want to make it in the millennial period or the spiritual kingdom when we're in heaven already, the point that Jesus is really making is that he is soon leaving earth. The reason he came to earth is about over with, he's going to fulfill that, and he will be going back home with it. But I see something else in this verse, in this scripture here in Luke, that I think is important. Maybe this is my interpretation. But I think when it talks about that, when it talks about the it here, we're having really a changing of the guard, as it were, taking place in time, history as we know it. And when Jesus talks about the it being fulfilled, I think we're talking about the plan of God being fulfilled here. In verse 14 of Luke 22, he uses this line that we see many times through scripture, and when the hour was come, when the hour was come. In other words, when it was time in God's program to happen, that's when it happened. And when I read verse 15, I get the feeling that this is a long-awaited moment for Jesus. You notice in verse 15, it says of Luke 22, then he said to them, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Some translations say, I have eagerly desired, or earnestly or intensely desired to eat this supper with you. I think that this, Jesus had anticipated this time because God's plan is unfolding, as it were. And I think there's an excitement, even though Jesus is going to suffer, there's going to be a redemption for mankind coming up here real soon. You see, that little lamb in Exodus 12 is what theologians call a type of Christ. It was only a temporary thing. It was a picture of things to come, looking for the time when something much better would come on the picture. God had Jesus in mind, I believe, back there in Egypt when he told the Israelites to take a lamb and put blood on the door posts. I believe he already had Jesus in mind in that day. You see, the blood of that little lamb is what saved them from death. The blood of that little lamb saved them from the destroyer who would have destroyed their sons and that oldest son in that night. And as a result, the blood of that little lamb also saved Israelites from the slavery of Egypt that they were in. But it was only temporary. It was only temporary. Here in Luke 22, that something better has now arrived. And his name is Jesus. That he is, that and the reason he has come is about to take place. He says, I want to eat, this will be the last time I eat to you before I suffer. In other words, he knows he's going to die pretty soon in verse 15. I see the plan of God is about to be fulfilled. And from now on, it will be the blood of Jesus Christ who saves us from death, who saves us from the wrath of God. It will be him, Jesus, that will free us from the slavery of sin and the judgment that goes with it. I see this as the unfolding of God's plan right before our very eyes here in Luke 22. And that's why, to me, Easter is such an important part of the whole plan of God. Jesus could have come to earth, be born of a babe, and done all these things, but if he had not gone to the cross and died, it would have been for nothing. That had to be part of it for us to get our salvation today. As we move on here, Jesus talks about, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it, in verse 16 of Luke 22, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then verse 17 says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the cup of the vine until the kingdom of God arrives. And he took the bread and broke it and gave thanks and gave it to the saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup and after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. I believe there's probably a break between verses 18 and verse 19. And there again, there's a discussion amongst theologians as to what all transpired. Luke, of course, does not give a real detailed account of what took place that night in that upper room. But for those that put the two script, all the scriptures together, all the gospels together, it would appear that between verses 14 and 18, the full meal of the Passover lamb took place during that time. Here's some things that took place, that had to take place that night. First of all, when Jesus told Peter and John to prepare for the Passover, that was no small task. I want to remind you of that. They had to get a lamb. They had to take it to the priest for it to be sacrificed and all that that meant. It was to be roasted, just like God told them to roast it in the Old Testament. They had to get unleavened bread. They had to get bitter herbs. That was all for the meal. All for the meal that they talked. During that time after the meal, other gospels would indicate that Jesus washed their feet at that time. He also identified Judas as the betrayer. John 13, 1 to 22 really just puts that in a lot more detail. And so in that passage, it says that Judas left in verse 30 of John 13, and the others professed their loyalty to Jesus. And I believe it was at that time where verse 19 here says where Jesus took bread and for the first time instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper today. He was bringing in a whole new concept from the Old Testament as compared to what the Old Testament was. This was going to be a new way of doing things. From verses 14 to 18, Jesus is really fulfilling the Old Testament law and doing things the way the Jews had done it for centuries. But he says that he won't be doing it anymore, and neither should the disciples be doing it anymore, because Jesus is now to be the focus of their worship. It was not the Passover. It is not the Passover feast of unleavened bread anymore. Jesus is speaking to the future church here. He's speaking to his disciples. And he says, I'm going to become a sacrifice for you. Therefore, from now on, you should do this new institution in remembrance of me. It's interesting to note, I think, and to observe that in the Old Testament, they were doing this Passover feast in remembrance of what God had done. But now it seems like God has given that honor and glory to Jesus. That the only reason for doing the Lord's Supper is to remind us of what Jesus did for us on the cross. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with remembering what Jesus did for us. The honor and glory, of course, that goes to Jesus, God gets it as well. We know that. You notice in verse 20 here of Luke 22, likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. The King James uses the New Testament, but that means a new covenant. And again, we need to understand that in that we're talking about the Old Testament covenant was the law. It was the Ten Commandments. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a new covenant. And this covenant between you and God is now called grace. Now called grace. What a wonderful thing. Paul also said that the Lord's Supper was to be done to remember Jesus and what he did for us. On 1 Corinthians 11, he tells us that. You are showing that you haven't forgotten what he did for you on the cross. Paul had a lot to say about the cross in his writings. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said, it is foolishness to those who perish, but it's a must if you want to be saved. In verse 23 of that same chapter, he said, it may be a stumbling block of foolishness to some, but we preach Christ crucified, because that's the only hope of salvation that there is. Paul, who was very knowledgeable and could have gotten a lot of praise for his education, he left that all behind so that would not get in the way of his message. And what was his message? That Jesus Christ was crucified. It's like for Paul, nothing else mattered to him except that the truth of what Jesus did on the cross for us became known. You see, it's the cross now today. If it wasn't for the cross, there would be no salvation. If it wasn't for the cross, there would be no ability to pray in fellowship with God Almighty in heaven. There would be no fellowship with him. Without the cross, there would be much fear about what happens after death. There would be no hope. In fact, there would be no reason even to live without the cross. That's really what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15:12 to 19, where he says, if Christ be not risen, then we are the most miserable of all mankind, of human. And so Jesus had not died and come again, his coming to earth, as he said, would have been in vain. And that's a very teaching, foundation of our teaching for Christianity. Jesus did not say how many times a year or a month that we should do or be a partaker of this new institution called the Lord's Supper. Paul, however, said that we should do it till he come. And Jesus says that when we do it, that we should do it in his name. And when we do it, we should think about his broken and bruised body. And when we do it, we think of his blood and the new covenant between us and God that shed blood brings to us. And so, in this morning, what I hope I'm bringing across is that even though Dennis mentioned that the Easter is still a couple weeks away, but as I thought about this and prayed about it, it's good for us to be reminded, I believe, of where this all started. It started in the Old Testament. Already back there in the Old Testament, when God lays those institutions down, he knew he had Christ in mind, that it would be his blood that would stand between us and God's judgment and his wrath that would come upon us. May we be thankful this morning and give praise to him. May Jesus be the center of all our lives, as we brought out here before, that Jesus is our Passover. Jesus is our is the one that saves us, as I said, from the wrath of God.